Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Richard Fortinsky, and I'm with the Aging and Public Health section. I'm at the University of Connecticut. And we have a session sponsored by the Aging and Public Health section this morning on environment and aging. So we thank everyone for coming to this session. We have five presenters this morning, and I will introduce each of them as it is their turn. So our first presenter this morning is Wajiha Akhtar. Wajiha is a third-year epidemiology PhD student at the University of Florida's Colleges of Public Health and Health Professions and Medicine, and she was previously a summer fellow at the National Institute on Aging's Laboratory of Epidemiology, Demographics, and Biometry. And the title of Wajiha's presentation is The Association of Blood Creatinine Level with Cognitive Performance in Older Adults.
Thank you for that introduction. As Dr. Bertinsky said, my name is Wajiha Akhtar, and I'll be presenting today on the association of blood creatinine level with cognitive, and we also looked at physical performance in older adults. I also want to recognize the other authors on this paper. I have no relationships to disclose, nor do any of the authors. So it comes as no surprise to any of us that our population distribution is changing, and older adults are basically conquering the United States, and by 2050 we see more of our pyramid shifting. And because of this, as our population ages, studying the mechanisms of aging is becoming warranted. So I was particularly interested in secondhand smoke and the effects of secondhand smoke on older adults. About 300,000 smoking-related deaths occur each year in people who are over the age of 65. And although there's a lot being done to decrease the effects of secondhand smoke in our population, we don't know what's going on in private homes because that's beyond the reach of regulation. About 40.1% of non-smokers had measurable levels of environmental tobacco smoke in 2000 and 2008 in their blood. So we've seen the studies that have shown secondhand smoke's association to heart disease and its increased risk to lung cancer. Some studies have even suggested that breast cancer may be associated as well. And we just started thinking about what about cognitive decline and other sort of health outcomes related to aging. So this led us to investigate the association of secondhand smoke with cognitive performance and gait speed using a population-based sample. And we also wanted to evaluate whether cardiovascular disease modifies the association of secondhand smoke on cognitive performance. So we picked cognitive decline as an outcome because dementias such as Alzheimer's disease is becoming one of the leading causes of death that yet has a cure. And for this reason, there is a need to learn the underlying mechanism for diseases such as this, and it will help with prevention. We also were interested in looking at physical performance, and that's because studies have shown that physical performance is associated with increased risk of disability, hospitalization, and mortality in older adults. You could also use an objective measure such as gait speed to measure this. So for the study, we used the NHANES-ZEA, National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, It's a population-based study using non-institutionalized participants, and it's cross-sectional. We used data from 1999 to 2002 using older adults over the age of 60 with serum creatinine samples, and our final sample size was 2,452. We used blood creatinine samples to measure secondhand smoke, and we excluded active smokers. We removed participants with greater than 10 nanograms per milliliters because studies have shown that that is classified as a smoker. Blood creatinine levels were then divided into tertiles by non-smoking status. So we divided them by never smoker and former smokers, and then we further divided them into tertiles. And you can see the distribution down there. To measure cognitive function, we use the digit symbol substitution test that was provided with NHANES. It's a measure of attention, perceptual speed, motor speed, and visual scanning. Basically, the subjects are given a piece of paper with 9 symbols corresponding to 9 digits, and then they're supposed to look at the digits and fill in the symbols, and it's scored from 0 to 133, 0 being the lowest, 133 being the highest. visual gait speed was used to measure physical performance, and it was a 20-foot walk time test, and we converted that to meters per second. And then for covariates, we looked at self-reported age, gender, race, ethnicity, education, and then we looked at other covariates that were provided by NGOs. So for analysis, we use multivariate linear regression models. For the paper, we use different models using different covariates. For the presentation, we're going to show the one that we adjusted for age, gender, education, race, ethnicity, diabetes, hypertension, BMI, alcohol use, stroke, heart attack, and blood lead level. So our sample was a majority of females. It was 58.5%. They were white. And they had 58.6 had a high school diploma or less. Our mean age was 72.5. And as you can see here, our total smokers, our average cognitive performance score was 47.2, gait speed was 0.95 meters per second, and our cotinine level was 0.17 nanograms per milliliter. So we first wanted to see the association of blood cotinine level with cognitive decline. So when compared to the lowest tertile group, when compared to the lowest tertile groups, never smokers, second and the third tertile had 3 points less than those in the lowest tertile after adjustment for a covariate. And when we treated tertiles as an ordinal variable, our tests for trends showed that it was statistically significant for never smokers. This relationship was not seen in former smokers. Again, we did the same sort of analysis for physical performance. When you look at the association of blood cotinine level with gait speed compared to the lowest tertile, you saw about a 0.05 meters per second decrease after adjusting for covariates. Our test for trend again was 0.05. In other models, we showed that this was statistically significant, but I used this one, this model, just for consistency to compare it to the last analysis and for future analysis that you'll be seeing in this presentation. So lastly, what we wanted to do is we wanted to stratify by whether or not the participants reported whether or not they had heart attacks. So in never smokers, when you compare the lowest tertile of people that said that they did not have a heart attack, you see a threefold increase in cognitive decline in those that said that they did have a heart attack and they were in the last tertile for a cotinine level. So you can see that there is a 9-point decrease in their cognitive performance score. So our data shows that ETS is significantly associated with cognitive decline and marginally associated with physical function. This was not as strong in former smokers. The test for interaction showed almost a 3-fold increase in cognitive decline in those with self-reported heart attack. We were able to use an objective measure for both exposure and outcome, and we used a large nationally representative sample to assess this association. Some weaknesses in our study, it was a cross-sectional data, so temporality could be an issue. We used a biomarker to assess secondhand smoke, so this could be just their current exposure, and we're not sure whether or not that maybe we were debating whether or not, you know, if there's a way that we can look at cumulative measure. Maybe it's this cumulative sort of exposure that's leading to cognitive decline, or maybe it is just late onset of secondhand exposure that may cause cognitive decline. So that's something that we would want to further study. So what are the implications? We all know secondhand smoke is bad for you. We know that cigarette smoking is bad for you. But what was interesting to see in the study that it's not just in childhood and adulthood that secondhand smoke affects you, but it's in older adults as well. And there are still health disparities that exist for secondhand smoke. I was actually at a session yesterday where I found out that VAs are required to have they're required to have smoking shelters, either indoors or outdoors, of their VA. So clearly we have these vulnerable populations that are still allowed to smoke in public places. We also need to protect non-smokers that, you know, have comorbidities such as cardiovascular disease. So some future directions for this project. We want to look at different outcome measures. We want to look at different domains of cognitive decline. We're wondering whether or not it is memory that's being affected, or is it processing speed, or any other domains in cognitive decline. We're also interested in looking at whether or not vitamin E may be a mediating factor, looking at cumulative effects, again, for environmental tobacco smoke. And we're also interested in looking at other heavy metals. Maybe organophosphates has an association with cognitive decline. Herbicides in Florida are very popular, and that's another project that we're looking into to start assessing. Some people that I just want to acknowledge quickly, my funding comes from the University of Florida's Graduate School in Public Health and Health Professions. The advisor for this project was Zhaoyi Zhu. And lastly, my research mentor, Dr. Robert Cook, who's here today. That helped me out a lot with this presentation.
Thank you.
So we do have time for questions for what you have. Anyone has questions?
I've actually been doing some studies, and I was wondering if you've looked at the literature about third-hand smoking.
You know, that's interesting. So I was at a session yesterday where they were talking about public housing and how older adults are affected by third-hand smoke by walls and air vents, and I just thought that was very, very interesting. And since we use blood cotinine level, third-hand smoke would be included in our analysis because of the fact that we're using blood cotinine levels to assess it.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert at all, but okay. Well, so we know firsthand smoke is smoking itself. Secondhand smoke is inhaling the smoke of someone else, and thirdhand smoke is actually inhaling smoke in people's clothes and walls and air vents. So, in a lot of places where apartment buildings, for example, are now passing laws for like public housing, for example, to decrease indoor smoking there because of third-hand smoke, that you could get blood cotinine levels in your blood from just inhaling smoke from clothes and walls and air vents.
So is that more residual then, as opposed to active smoke, like someone smoking and I'm over there,
mm-hmm.
versus just sort of the residual chemicals or
exactly,
whatever?
Exactly, yeah.
So your comment about BA was really relevant.
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So I just have really a general question about the underlying mechanism that you think, particularly as far as cognitive decline mm-hmm. goes, and its relationship to high levels of this, mm-hmm. this biomarker
mm-hmm.
in the blood. I'm just wondering how might you explain the underlying mechanism?
So I had hypothesized that it was, you know, secondhand smoke increases your risk of cardiovascular disease, and then that would increase your risk of cognitive decline. But when you look at this graph here, you look at those that had a heart attack and those that didn't. Even those that did not have a heart attack still showed a decrease in cognitive performance compared to those in the lowest tertile group. So it's independent of cardiovascular disease. So it's 0 to 133, and I was looking at what is a significant difference in a cognitive decline, and I saw some studies that said 4 to 5 points of a decrease. So you see some of them were at -3, and then you see a -9 there. So, I mean, these are important numbers.
NHANES?
Yes. It's once every 2 years. They use 2 cycles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now we have, I think, one more question.
And then there is whole thing that's being done by specialists in breathing, where they're talking about people who haven't smoked for more than 50 years
mm-hmm.
who still have someone in the system which changes their breathing apparatus.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a very, very interesting topic.
Thank you so much.